With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. On NPR's All Things Considered Sunday, Amy Martin reported on the second largest ever cull of Yellowstone bison this winter. More than 1,200 bison were killed, more than any time since the winter of 2007-2008. But unlike that year, there's now a quarantine facility on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation that could save many of the animals, which are killed in an effort to control the disease brucellosis. Amy Martin joins us now to talk more about why the Park Service isn't using the quarantine facility. Martin produces the podcast Threshold, which this season examined bison management issues in depth. Amy, it's great to have you back on Montana Public Radio.
Thanks for having me.
In the story that NPR aired over the weekend, you said that more than 1,200 bison were culled from the herd this year. What's the breakdown of how many were shot by hunters versus those that were rounded up and shipped to slaughter?
Yeah, that number of around 1,200, that includes, you know, both different ways that bison are being culled from the herd. So the most recent numbers I have are 748 animals were shipped to slaughter this year. 440 were taken in the hunt, although that number is probably going to go up a little bit as the numbers continue to come in on that. And then there were 21 additional hunting-related mortalities. So that gets us to 1,209 bison culled from the herd this year. That's the second highest cull the park has ever had, second only to the winter of 2007-2008, when more than 1,700 bison were killed.
You said there were 21 additional hunting-related mortalities. What does that mean?
So one of the reasons this cull is controversial is because the hunt is happening in such a small area, and it's so close to the park boundary that it's very hard to call it fair chase. And so these additional hunting-related mortalities are bison that were wounded on one side of that park line, and then they run back into the park, and then the hunters can't follow them into the park. That at that point, the park rangers actually have to try to track the animals down. So it's really not an ideal situation for the bison or the hunters.
All of this entire cull, the hunting and the ship to slaughter, that's all because of this fear of brucellosis, right?
That's one of the reasons. It's probably the main reason in a lot of people's minds. The complexity here is that although Yellowstone bison have been exposed to brucellosis, not every animal that's actually exposed to the bacteria will develop the disease. For instance, this year, of the 748 animals that were shipped to slaughter, 60% of them actually tested negative. So that means 438 of those animals that were shipped to slaughter were actually eligible for quarantine, and they could have been eventually distributed to tribes or other groups that wanted to use Yellowstone bison to establish other herds elsewhere.
So if that many animals were tested negative for brucellosis, why would they need to go to quarantine? Why can't they just let the animals that test negative be handed off to groups that want them?
So that's another complexity with brucellosis. Just because an animal tests negative for it doesn't mean that it won't develop the disease later. So scientists have set up a protocol where an animal can go into quarantine. They're held anywhere from a year to 2 years, depending on the sex of the animal. They're tested repeatedly through that time. And anytime an animal turns up positive, then they're removed from the herd and they're killed. But at the end of the quarantine protocol, any animals that make it through that whole series of tests can be declared brucellosis-free.
And in your story for NPR, you point out that the Fort Peck tribes set up a quarantine facility on their reservation to try to save bison that don't have brucellosis, right?
Yeah. So that's what the Fort Peck tribes did. They set up a quarantine pasture in the middle of their reservation. They ran a 5-year feasibility study on this whole concept of, can we quarantine bison that have been exposed to brucellosis? It was actually run by Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks and the Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. That's an agency of the USDA. And at the end of that 5-year study, it turned out that the majority of bison that went through the quarantine actually did shed the disease and were free to be released back out into the wider bison population. So from the perspective of people who are looking for alternatives to reducing the size of the Yellowstone herd without killing so many animals, this was a big success. After that feasibility study, Yellowstone ran an environmental assessment on the idea. You know, that involves soliciting public comment and going through all the steps of any environmental assessment. And then they made the recommendation that we start using the Fort Peck quarantine facility. And that was last year, last January, actually, January 2016. And there was talk of it even getting implemented in time for last year's cull. But that didn't happen. And then it also didn't happen this year. That quarantine facility sat empty and we culled more than 20% of the Yellowstone herd.
So if the quarantine facility works and these animals can be safely removed without killing them, why isn't the Park Service using this facility at Fort Peck?
Well, that's kind of the million-dollar question right now. The official answer is basically that we don't know. We're waiting for a decision from the Park Service's regional director in Denver, and she has not issued a decision, and she is not responding to interview requests, so we don't know why she hasn't issued a decision. But, you know, it's no secret that many in the stock-growing community have been opposed to the expansion of bison habitat in Montana. So I think it's likely that some of the leaders of the stock-growing community may have been encouraging federal officials, you know, not to use this facility.
And we just don't know because at this point, federal officials aren't responding to interview requests. They're not talking about why they're not using the quarantine facility, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we're just kind of left to try to make sense of it based on kind of past information. And the Stock Growers Association did submit a letter in the environmental assessment process, which, you know, stated that they were opposed to the use of the Fort Peck facility.
People you've been talking to in the bison management world, they feel like they can't talk about this relationship between the state of Montana and the U.S. Department of Interior because they fear they'd lose their jobs?
Yeah, I would say in general, I feel like there may be a pretty big disconnect between the people on the ground in various agencies that are dealing with bison, in their jobs, and some of the people that are making decisions, you know, much further up the food chain. And I think there is a concern from people in various agencies that the decisions are being made at a level that does not necessarily include the public comment and the public input and doesn't necessarily include the perspective of people that are on the ground doing the work. So yeah, I think that there is a fear and a concern among some employees that may have criticisms of the ways their own agencies are handling bison management, that if they say too much, they risk their own jobs or the jobs of the people who work with them.
So what's the future look like to you? Are we going to have another bison cull of a similar size next year?
Well, it's entirely possible that we would. Right now, the situation has just seemed to have fallen into a really big rut, and that makes it kind of unclear what is going to happen with Yellowstone bison. The group of federal, state, and tribal representatives that are supposed to be cooperatively managing the herd, that's the Interagency Bison Management Plan, or also known as the IBMP, they agreed that they needed to rewrite the bison management plan for the park, based on everything they've learned over the last 17 years of operating under the IBMP. And the original idea was that this new plan would already, if not be in place, be pretty far along in the process of being developed by now. But instead, the process has barely started because the different sides of the issue are just seeing things so differently that we can't even seem to get beyond the first step in that rewrite. So it seems like the one thing everyone on all sides here seems to agree on is that this process is kind of a mess. As I mentioned in the NPR piece, it seems like bison really are kind of trapped in a culture war here, and it's kind of unclear what's going to change the situation and get it into a more functional place.
Amy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Eric.
Amy Martin produces the podcast Threshold. You can find a link to it on our website, mtpr.org. This interview was produced with assistance from Threshold's Nick Mott. I'm Eric Whitney.